Good morning, everyone. I hope you are doing well this Sunday morning, the last day of February. 2021 is flying by, and soon the spring flowers will be blooming and temps will be remaining warm. And praise God for whatever the weather is. Today, we are going to open up His Word, and today we are going to continue talking about discipleship. We have talked the past 2 weeks about discipleship, and we're going to continue. This is just a topic that's just always been on my heart. It's something that we just can't be taught enough of, I believe. And it's something that needs to be taught and needs to be taught correctly. So I go before the Father and ask Him to help me to teach this as He wants me to, and just pulling it right out of His Word. And it's one thing we all need to be doing is opening His Word ourselves and reading and studying His Word. Not just devotionals. Devotionals are good. That's usually a good entryway into studying the Word of God. But we need to not just read His Word, but study it. And then not just read and study, but put it into action in our own lives. As I teach discipleship, I like to look at what Jesus did and what the first church did, but especially Jesus, and see how He taught discipleship, because He's the one that we are following. And so we need to see how He made disciples and then follow Him. Do what He did and say what He says. And before we get into that this morning, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we just want to again say thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word and this opportunity that we can open up Your Word this morning on the radio, on the internet. Some are listening via the app. Lord, however people are listening this morning, I just pray that Your Word will go forth and just touch hearts. And God, I know Your Word will accomplish what it sets out to do, because You tell us that's what it does. And Father, as we talk about discipleship this morning, Lord, may we just determine in our hearts that we truly are going to be disciples of You, Jesus, and truly follow You. So Lord, I just lift up each person listening this morning. Those who do not have a relationship with You, I pray today they will make that decision and just surrender to You, Lord. And those who do believe in You, I pray that each one would just be more determined to live for You, Lord. Not for things of this world, but for You. So, Father, we just give You this time, ask You to bless it. And we give You all praise, all honor, and all glory. And it's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about the cost of discipleship. And we've talked about this before, but we're going to look at it in a little bit different way, or maybe not a different way, but just go more in depth in it. And we have to count the cost of discipleship, because I just want you to understand what Jesus teaches is He's not just looking for people just to pray a prayer and say, all right, I decided to follow Jesus. I prayed a prayer. I'm done. That's not what Jesus came for. He came to save us, to cleanse us of all of our sins and unrighteousness, to forgive us. He came to give us eternal life with Him, but we have to follow Him. He makes that very clear in His Word, to follow Him. And to do that, we need to count the cost of following Him. I think too many times we jump into this decision to become a Christian without counting the cost, and then when those costs start coming up, we don't know what to do with them, because we hadn't been taught, because we hadn't read. But today we're going to talk about that. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just touch our hearts and really just reveal the truth of discipleship, the truth of following Jesus, and that we'll become determined that we are going to live for Jesus no matter the cost. So the cost of following Jesus, the cost of discipleship, we have to understand that Jesus must come first. Nothing else, no one else. Jesus must come first. And He makes that strikingly clear Himself. And let's look at some scripture here. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 26. Luke 14, 25 and 26. Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple." Wow. Did Jesus just say that? Does He really want us to hate our families and to hate ourselves? Doesn't He tell us in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Well, we need to look at exactly what He's saying here, because He's not contradicting Himself. He isn't teaching that we are to hate our families or to hate ourselves. The hatred called for here in this scripture is actually a lesser love. Jesus was and is calling his disciples to cultivate a devotion, such a devotion to him, that our attachment to everything else, including our own lives, would seem like hatred by comparison. So he's not telling us to hate others, to hate ourselves, but to love him so much that by comparison, yes, we love our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our wife, our children, ourselves, but compared to how we love him, it shouldn't even be close. Jesus was not and is not looking for people to follow him out of curiosity with no real heart interest in this relationship with him. Jesus is looking for those who are willing to live devotedly and passionately for him and even die if necessary. Let's think about this. He died for us, didn't he? He thought we were worth it. He thought we were worth the pain and the agony that he went through and all the beating and the shame and the nailing to the cross and dying. He thought we were worth it. If that's what it takes to follow Jesus, the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, are we willing to go that far for Jesus? Are we willing to love him so much to the point that it would even cost our lives? We look at the 12 disciples and what happened to them, and all but one, John, was martyred, was killed for their faith. They tried to kill John, including boiling him in hot oil, but that didn't work. That's the kind of devotion that Jesus is looking for here. And we have to ask ourselves, are we that devoted? We need to get to the point that, yes, we are. Because, again, he's done everything for us to give us eternal life. So why wouldn't we do everything for him? Martha and I have had this conversation many times, especially before some mission trips that we've taken into some dangerous parts of the world where it's not safe to be a Christian and definitely not safe to share the gospel with others. But each time we've had this discussion, we both said, yes, we are willing, if that's what it comes to, because he is worth it. And so are the souls we're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus, he taught many people, and he did many miracles, signs, and wonders. And people would just come to him and just start following him. And then he would winnow them out because he wanted true believers, true followers. And that's what was going on in the scripture that we just read. So we see that Jesus must come first. He must come first before anyone else. He makes that very, very clear. Jesus must come first before anyone else, including family members. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 37. Matthew 10, 34 through 37. Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Again, it sounds like Jesus is coming out and telling us to go against our loved ones, to hate our loved ones, and that he's not coming to bring peace. But isn't he called the Prince of Peace? Yes, he is. And he has come to bring peace. But let me be clear here. He isn't calling followers to a life free of conflict. And that's what he's talking about here, is that there is going to be conflict. Yes, there's going to be peace. And the end result of us following him is going to be peace. Peace in our lives as we live here on earth, and peace everlasting as we are with him for all eternity. But it's not always going to be peaceful as we decide to follow him. And in this time that he's teaching, we have to understand that individuals, when they became his followers, their families would turn against them. A converted father would be opposed to his unbelieving son, a Christian mother by her unsaved daughter, a born-again mother-in-law by her unsaved daughter, and just one family member against another. So a choice must be made between Christ and family. Now, no ties of nature can be allowed to deflect a disciple from utter allegiance to the Lord. The Savior, Jesus Christ, must take precedence over father, mother, son, daughter. One of the costs of discipleship is to experience tension, strife, and alienation from one's own family. This hostility is often more bitter than is encountered in other areas of life. You may be asking yourselves, what is Ken talking about? Isn't he trying to get people to follow Jesus? Yes, you better believe it. That's my life's goal, is to lead people to Jesus and to make disciples. That's what he tells us to do. But I'm also presenting it as Jesus presented it in the Gospels. He doesn't present it as a easy road that we're going to live. It's not going to be a bed of roses. And too often, that is what's portrayed in sermons today and have been for a long time, is that just come to Jesus, pray a prayer, and nothing much happens after that. But that's not true. That's not what it's all about. Yes, it's about coming to Jesus and repenting of our sins and trusting in him. And from that point, we got to follow him. We have to be obedient to his word. We have to do what he does, say what he does, make disciples like he does and like he tells us to. He commands us to go and to make disciples. And we've talked about the Great Commission many times here on Sunday Morning with Love and Action. But sometimes when you decide to follow Jesus, you're going to get resistance from family members. And that's what he is talking about here. And that still happens today. I know people who right here in the U.S. decided to follow Jesus and changed their lives to follow him. And family members resisted that. Friends resisted that. But they decided, I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep on living for Jesus because he's worth it. Definitely happens in other parts of the world where it's not even legal to convert from Islam to Christianity or Buddhism to Christianity, Hinduism to Christianity. And people that we know are being hunted by their own family members. Their own family members want to kill them because they turned from Islam and turned to Jesus and decided to follow Jesus. And they're continually following Jesus because they want Jesus in their lives. They want to live with him forever. And their desire is to be able to lead their family members who want to kill them to Jesus. So it's an example right there of a true follower of Jesus, is where we are loving him and we are committed to him before anyone else, including our own family members. I never will forget some people, some brothers and sisters in Christ who we've met in other parts of the world who, as I mentioned, their own family were after them to kill them. And there's this precious young couple in the Philippines, in the southern region of the Philippines where we go, the island of Mindanao. And they were at a church that the pastor and church there that we have known and ministered with for a while. And they were there hiding out, actually, but also being discipled. And they were, our brothers and sisters there were making disciples of that precious couple and doing a wonderful job. And you could see the hurt in their eyes and hear it in their voices when they told Martha and me about their situation. But you could also see the excitement and hear that in their voices as well when they talked about Jesus and they talked about the new life that Jesus had given them, and that it was worth it, that they're sleeping on a bench, basically, and sometimes on the floor. But they didn't mind because they were living for Jesus and they knew that Jesus had a plan for them and that they were going to live it out. I remember in the country of Myanmar, which we need to continue to pray for because of the military coup that has taken place there. But I remember preaching the gospel in a little house, a little hut on our first trip there. And this older woman, she decided that she wanted to follow Jesus. But she also asked me that, you know, if she did, that her son, who was a Buddhist and a high-ranking member in the Buddhist temple, that there's a very good possibility he would just kick her out of the house. You know, imagine kicking your mom out of the house because she decided to follow Jesus. But that's what this woman was facing. And there were other people there who just immediately started encouraging her to follow Jesus. And they shared their testimonies with her on similar situations and how Jesus worked in their lives when they decided to follow him. And I told her that I couldn't make that decision for her. She would have to make that decision herself, but Jesus thought she was worth it to die for her. After hearing those other testimonies, she said, okay, I'm ready to follow Jesus. And I was blessed to baptize her as well. And so those are real life situations that real people face all over the world. And again, here in the U.S., that takes place as well. Maybe not to the extent of a family member going to kill someone over that, but people will just be ignored and not invited to family gatherings and so forth. May have a Christmas get-together and you're not invited, and different things like that, because you decided to change your life, you decided to follow Jesus, and therefore you don't do the things that you once did, and you can be separated from your family for that. So you have to make that decision. Am I going to follow Jesus, or am I going to give him up and get back with my family? We need to keep following Jesus, and that consistent walk with Christ, that consistent living for him, obeying his word, oftentimes will make such an impact on family members and on friends that they will want to follow Jesus as well. Not always, but many times that does happen. So if you're in that situation, let me encourage you, keep following Jesus, because he is worth it. And your testimony of the way you live your life is touching other lives, and including those who have made fun of you, those who have separated themselves from you. Just keep on praying for them as well. Never give up. And just watch what God does. And if you're listening to this saying, well, Ken, I'm not a Christian, I haven't believed, and that seems pretty hard what you're talking about. Well, yes, it is. But it's worth it. It is worth it. As we continue to go along here, I pray that you will see that. So stay in there with me here. So we see that Jesus makes it very clear that he must come first. And he must come first even before family members. And he also must come first before our own self, before our own desires, before our will. And let's see what he says here in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now, self-denial is a very common thread in the teachings of Jesus to his disciples, and we read that throughout the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The kind of self-denial that Jesus sought, that he's talking about here, was a willingness to obey his commandments, to serve one another, and to suffer, perhaps even to die for his sake. In this teaching today, you may say, Ken, this sounds a little foreign to me, but it is in the Bible. And again, read it for yourself, please. We need to read God's word ourselves. We need to know what God's word says and to be able to know if what we're being taught is in fact in the Bible or not. He tells us to study to show ourselves approved and know God's word so we're not tossed to and fro by every wave and wind of doctrine. So please look at this for yourself, these verses we're going over. But this is what Jesus is telling us. We need to deny ourselves. It's very clear here. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's not easy to do, but he gives us the strength. He gives us the power to be able to do that. And when we do, again, it's just the most amazing life ever when we truly follow Jesus. I know it sounds hard. It sounds tough. And again, Jesus didn't promise it would be easy. So if anybody's telling you this walk with Jesus is easy, they're not telling you the truth, because there are costs that we have to consider. And we have to truly follow Jesus as he tells us to in his word. And his invitation to take up the cross daily and follow him involves these following things. The opposition of loved ones, which we have just discussed that. The reproach of the world. You know, Jesus says that the world will hate us because of him. The forsaking of family and house and lands and the comforts of life. And we've talked about the comforts of life just a couple of weeks ago, that are we willing to lay aside those comforts to follow Jesus? It also includes complete dependency on God, where God is our everything. He's everything to us. He's our strength. He's our source. He's our God. And we have to trust him and be totally dependent on God. It also involves obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit leads us and we follow, it's just so awesome what we see God do in our lives and through our lives. And to see that working in such powerful ways, just read the book of Acts and see how that first church constantly followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't any question. God would just lead them by his Spirit to do something, to say something, and they would do it. And just amazing things happened. and the gospel just continued to spread in such a very tough part of the world where their leader had, you know, had just been crucified. But then they saw him come back to life, and they knew this is the one. He truly is the Messiah. We truly are going to follow him, no matter the cost. It also involves the proclamation of an unpopular message. We see that today. So many people don't want to hear the truth that's in the gospel. But we have to proclaim it anyway, because it is the truth. And people need to hear the truth. And once they hear the truth and they grab hold of it, then as the word says, the truth will set them free. But it's not a popular message, and we have to be willing to share that, even if it's unpopular. That's probably why 90 to 95% of all professing Christians in the U.S. have never shared their faith, because it's not always popular. But we got to share our faith, people. There's no way we can be a true follower of Christ and not share our faith. It's just an impossibility. By looking at the Word of God, there's no way that we can truly be followers of Jesus if we're not sharing him with others and sharing the gospel, sharing our testimonies with others and making disciples as he commands us to. It can also include a pathway of loneliness. You know, if you're surrounded by a lot of unbelievers and you're the only believer in that office that you work at or in your school or wherever you find yourself, even in your family, it can kind of feel lonely. But always remember, Jesus is with you. He's in you. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Picking up your cross and following Jesus daily can also involve organized attacks from established religious leaders. Some religious leaders won't like this message today because it's not painting a pretty rosy picture of following Jesus. But I'm just sharing with you what Jesus talks about in the Gospels. And he says it's tough, but it's also the best life ever. And I can promise you that from firsthand experience. It can also involve suffering for righteousness' sake. We can go through Genesis, through Revelations. I tried to combine those two words, didn't I? We can go through Genesis to Revelations and see suffering throughout the Bible, and people of God suffering. But they were suffering for righteousness' sake, and their reward was great when they left this earth and went home to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. It can also involve being slandered and shame. You know, people trying to just say all kind of things about you and try to put you to shame and try to slander you and call you names and so forth. But it's going to happen. We can't let it bother us. We just need to say, all right, thank you, Jesus. I am being persecuted for your name's sake. And you were persecuted. You said I would be. So I'm going to keep on following you, Lord. Just give me strength to keep going. It can also involve pouring out one's life for others. As you go out and you reach others for Jesus, sometimes we're going to put our lives on the line, especially if we're overseas in some of these dangerous areas I talked about earlier. But are we willing to do that? Somebody told you about Jesus because they thought you were worth it. All these other people out here who don't know Jesus, right here in Dothan in the Wiregrass, throughout Alabama, throughout the U.S., throughout the world, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about his love, his mercy, and his grace, and his salvation, and how we can live forever by believing in him, and how we can live this life through his power, and to see amazing things take place. We need to tell people that, and it's worth it. We need to die to self and to the world, and that's what it really involves, is dying to self, that self-denial, and the things of this world. There's so many things out there that can get our attention and that can distract us. But we got to understand, we need to lay hold of life, that is real life, and that is Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we do find real life, but we also find the reason for our existence. Many, many people are wondering, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life here? We'll find that in Jesus Christ, and we'll discover our purpose in life. And it means eternal reward. God's going to reward us with eternity with him as we follow Jesus right here on earth. So we must deny ourselves, deny our own desires, and follow after his. Now, I've lived both ways. You're not hearing from somebody who's just always lived a Christian life. I was raised in a wonderful Christian family, but I decided to go my own way for a while and try to experience this world outside of Jesus. And as the Bible says, there's a season of fun in that, but it's all destruction. And now that I've been living for Jesus, I surrendered my life to him back in 1989. And when I did, my life started to change. And I praise God for saving my soul. I praise him for turning my life around, because nothing compares to living for Jesus. Again, I've lived both ways, without him and with him. And it's so much better living with him. So if you're listening this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus, I'm telling you from someone who's been there, because we all have to give our lives to Jesus at one time or another, because we're not born a believer. You can't, even if you're in the greatest Christian family of all times, you still got to make that decision for yourself. But I've lived for the world, and I've lived for Jesus, and I'll take Jesus every day, every second of every day. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to change. We have to deny ourselves and follow Jesus. And I know it sounds very foreign to most people. It sounds tough. And you may be thinking, well, what all am I going to miss out on? Well, let me promise you, you won't miss a thing. And if we don't deny ourselves and follow Jesus, then we will miss out on a lot. We'll miss out on everything he has planned for us here on earth, and we will miss out on eternity with him. Think about it this way. The one who created the heavens and the earth and all that's within them, the one who died and rose again to life, who conquered death, sin, and Satan, wants you and me to live this life with him. How awesome is that? He wants to hang out with us and show us one amazing thing after another. And when this life is all over with and we die, he wants us with him forever. Are you willing to receive his love, his forgiveness, his salvation, and trust and obey him? If not, then life here on earth is as close to heaven as you'll get. If we're willing to live for him here on earth and truly follow him and be his disciples, then this life is as close to hell as we'll get, because we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. This cost of discipleship required by Jesus, it did cause many to turn from following him, because he laid it out and told them the truth. Hey, it's not easy. But Jesus, he wasn't trying to attract large crowds. He wanted disciples, real disciples. So is the cost worth it? I believe so. I know so. It is worth it. So let me lay it out for you. Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want life here on earth and eternal life with Jesus? Or do you want to chase after aimless pursuits your whole life and end up in hell when you die, and then the lake of fire for all eternity? The way I see it, the answer is quite easy. Choose Jesus. But let me be clear, like Jesus is very clear in the Gospels, it's not easy. It's not just saying a prayer and checking off a box and you're done with it. It's a life of following Jesus. And be sure to count the cost and call out to him. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord, and believe with all your heart, not just in your mind, but with all your heart, all that's within you, that Jesus died and rose again. If you make that decision, just call out to him the best you can. He hears you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. And he'll give you new life. And repent means to turn from our sinful ways, our disobedient ways, and turn to him and ask him to forgive you. He will. And if you make that decision, I encourage you to contact me. I would love to give you some next steps on discipleship and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'd love to help you with those next steps. You can contact me at Love in Action. Our number is 334-494-4995. That's 334-494-4995. Or you can email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you have a great rest of the day, a wonderful week coming up. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.